The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello and welcome to this sixth talk on the Noble Eightfold Path, one of the core teachings of the Buddha. And to teaching about how to live one's life and in a complete way, to include all of ourselves for the purposes of being complete, whole, deeply satisfied, liberated, free. And the core word, the key word in this list of eight basic practices or ways of being is the word samma, S-A-M-M-A. And it's often translated into English usually as right. I think translators have tried many different words, and somehow that's the one that felt the most right to use. And but the word samma has a lot of rich connotations that are lost when we say right. It can mean complete or whole. It can mean a gathering together, a coming together of all the pieces and coming into one. It can also mean kind of a harmony of things coming together for the same purpose in the same direction. And but one way or the other, it's kind of a coming together, a gathering together, a unification. One meaning of samma is kind of unity, unified. And we find that there's a lot of words that are in the ancient Buddhist teachings that have some kind of association with unification, gathering together, putting together things, that is lost in some of the English translations, like the word concentration. What's lost in that translation of samadhi is samadhi means a gathering together, a putting together, putting oneself together in a complete way. And sometimes the word ekagata, which means sometimes translated as one-pointedness, which in some ways is a good translation, but also loses the connotations of that original Pali word of gathering into one, becoming unified or whole. And the word samma also has some of the rich, kind of useful ways, kind of satisfying ways in which we use the English word good. For example, you might say it was a good rain. We don't have much rain here in Northern California lately, where I am. And there's been promise of rain, but the rains has been very kind of small, light. You can sometimes wonder, was that really a rain? It dripped just a lot of drips. But then it might be might rain for many hours or a day or something. And someone might say, oh, that was a good rain. Meaning that was a satisfying rain. It kind of did what rains are supposed to do for the land, the vegetation. It was solid. It was complete. It was a good rain. A person might say that they had a good life at the end of their life. That was a good life. And that's kind of music. It's kind of a wonderful thing for anyone to be able to say that somehow they lived well and they're satisfied and it was a good life. And so when we come to the fifth factor of the Eightfold Path, the first being right view, the second being right orientation, the third being right speech, the fourth is right action. And now we come to what's usually translated as right livelihood. But it could be translated, the word, as a good life. If we samma ajiva, and ajiva means living, and the It's a right living, a good living, a good life. It's a complete living. It's a unified living. It's a gathering together so that if all of who we are is there, what choices do we make about how to live? One translator, Stephen Batchelor, has translated it as right survival or wise survival. And so it's what it's a living, how we live our life, we support our life, we stay alive, we keep our life going. And there's a wide range thing of things that entails. It's kind of the overall way in which we live our life. It's nothing wrong with translating it as livelihood, because that's such a huge area of a life for some people. But there are some people who are retired and don't really quite call retirement a livelihood. Doesn't quite work. But there's a lifestyle. There is a way of living. Even if one doesn't work, if one's a child, if one is somehow unemployed for a while, we're still consuming things, we're still living, we're still participating in this world actively. So how do we do that in a good way? So we come to the end of our life and say, that was a good life. That was a complete life. That was a full life. And or how do we do that as we live our life now? And this is like the key aspect of Buddhism. What is it about now? How can we be complete? How can we include all of who we are? How can we not be distracted from ourselves or separated from ourselves or divided in ourselves, so that all our sensitivities, all our awareness, all our intelligence, our whole humanity is in harmony and conversation, is aware of everything of what's going on in some kind of deep way, is connected. And in a way that is so important for the first factor of the Eightfold Path. Because then, of course, we have challenges. Of course, we have foibles and unhealthy impulses and thoughts that we might have. There are ways in which we cling and suffer and are stressed. But when we're complete, we're going to see that in the context of a wider field that includes how we can be free, how we can be calm. Right next to agitation is peace. Right next to stress is calm, ease. Right next to being clinging, there's also part of us that's not clinging. And when we start opening up to more and more, then we're not fixated on anything. Fixation, preoccupation, is a real limit. It limits us so dramatically, because it limits us from being aware of the whole of who we are. So when we come to then holistic living, that's my favorite translation these days of Samma, holistic, part of the whole, wholesome. What is when we become all of who we are is included, then there's hopefully a chance for us to have wisdom, compassion, kindness to all, the whole of everything, including ourselves. We become more important when all of ourselves is included. And at the same time, in a certain way, we become less important. And it's possible to hold those two side by side, where of course we want to care for ourselves. And of course we don't need to. Of course we want to care for others, but of course we don't need to. And all of it is there. And then how do we live with all of it? With freedom. How do we live with all of it without clinging to anything, including not clinging to clinging. And if we don't cling to clinging, but we see the whole, then perhaps we are free of the clinging. So in terms of right life, a good life, holistic livelihood, holistic way of living, holistic lifestyle, the key aspect of this, that to kind of boil it down to kind of the heart of what it, how it's manifested or how it is a dedication to non-harming, to live in a way that minimizes the harm. It's not possible as a human being to cause no harm whatsoever in the world, but we can try to minimize it and not to cause unnecessary harm. And so a lifestyle that maybe that doesn't enable the, doesn't enable the cheap availability of the kind of drugs that are so detrimental to our society. A lifestyle, a way of living, a livelihood that doesn't make cheap supply of weapons more and more available so that children end up going to school with guns. A lifestyle that doesn't, or a way of a livelihood that doesn't figure out better and better ways to sell alcohol and better and better ways of get people addicted to something. Better and better ways to lie to people. There are livelihoods that harm. There are livelihoods that come from a narrowing and dividing and separating ourselves from all of who we are. You have to ignore, we have to ignore the whole of who we are if we're going to be actively involved in professions that cause harm. And one of the really satisfying or gratifying aspects of being a Dharma teacher is to witness people who begin practicing and realize that the way they're living, the work they do, no longer works for them because it causes too much harm in the world. Not that they're trying to cause harm or they want to cause harm, but somehow it that's the end consequence of what they do. So maybe it's someone in marketing and advertising, and they're asked now to work on, you know, marketing, you know, rifles, guns, ammunition, for, in a way, some of these advertisements for weaponry in the United States is kind of disturbing. What it, the values that seem to be in it. So there is this idea of living a life that also benefits the whole. It not benefiting just a few. But how do we not only become complete and whole ourselves, holistic living, but how do we, is the holism of that, how does that benefit all the world? And I think that is one of the great challenges, but also the great invitations of Buddhism, to figure out a life, a way of living that is dedicated to benefiting all beings. Maybe not all at once, but a way that all beings are included, are part of our care. No one excluded. And how do we live? What kind of lifestyle would we engage in? What kind of livelihood would we engage in? So that at the end of our life, we can say, that was a good life. So, thank you. And so now we've done the first middle three of the Eightfold Path, which is the ones having to do with sila, with our conduct, speech, action, and now way of living, lifestyle. And then tomorrow we'll go into the samadhi, the growing, cultivating, developing our inner formation, our inner life. So thank you.